Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to the Rebel Report Podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
All right, here we go. Welcome in, everybody, to the Rebel Report. My name is Michael Borky on this Tuesday night. Glad that you guys are with me. And obviously, we're talking about Ole Miss, Oklahoma. Every game, well, sort of, every game from here on out is a playoff game unless they lose. But Saturday's a playoff game. We had a texter on the radio show talk about how Ole Miss doesn't need to overlook Oklahoma because it could be a trap game. No, I mean... They don't. He's right. But no, this is a playoff game. And if they win, Arkansas is a playoff game. And if they win, Georgia is a playoff game, et cetera, et cetera. There is no more margin for error. And that is what we're talking about tonight. I know there's the sentiment that winning is all that matters and literally the only thing that matters. But to me, in this game in particular, I think that Ole Miss needs to pass the eye test. If they are going to get people to start buying back into the idea that they are a playoff team contending to beat Georgia and find their way back into that conversation, just beating Oklahoma is not enough for me. I need to see other things that look differently than they have over the last 3 weeks. And so we'll talk about that tonight on this edition of the show. And we'll get to your comments as well. So, again, I'm glad that you guys are here. Please follow me on social media if you have not already, just wherever you get them. Please follow me there. And also, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast wherever you get them. Just search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. I would appreciate that very, very much. And like the video and subscribe and all that good stuff. And this edition of the podcast and every edition of the podcast is brought to you, presented by the Gregory Law Firm. If you're a small business owner, or you may have been personally injured or have a contract dispute, I know the person that you need to go to. It's DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Saltillo, but he can service you anywhere. And you may not need his services today. You may not have been injured, or you may be a small business owner, but you don't need legal advice at the moment. Save this number, because you never know when that day may come. And you don't want to be left out in the cold without knowing where to go. And so here is where you go. 662-397-9799. That's the phone number, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today, the Gregory Law Firm, bringing you the Rebel Report. So the eye test, why is that important? Why does the eye test matter? Quite frankly, I think it has a lot more to do with Oklahoma than it does to Ole Miss. But this Oklahoma team, while very solid defensively, Lane talked about it in his press conference yesterday about how just simply good they are defensively, and they've proven that. I mean, they have made it difficult on everybody they've played. They've made it difficult on Tennessee for an extended period of time. Even Texas had moments of struggle against this Oklahoma team. South Carolina walloped them, but it was more about other things as opposed to just South Carolina having great success against the Oklahoma defense for the most part. It's a talented defense. They've got good players on it. They're schemed well. They're going to play well. On the other side of the ball, they have just fired their offensive coordinator. They keep playing musical chairs with quarterbacks, and none of which are performing well. Basically, all of their receivers are injured, and they may get one back this weekend, but that's what they may get this week. And of course, the injury report's going to come out tomorrow. And their offensive line is the second worst in all of college football, not all of the SEC, in all of college football. They are ranked in the 130s in explosive plays as an offensive line. And you can see it when you watch them. In fact, we talked about it after their game against Temple. If you guys remember, I was like, hey, the score is lopsided. Oklahoma's got problems. You guys may remember that. One of the few things that I actually got right when it comes to looking at college football and understanding what's happening. I nailed that one. They are abysmal on that side of the ball. A coordinator change is not going to do much, in my opinion. I mean, if you watched Kiffin, you heard him say, there's really nothing that you can do in 6 days to change your scheme. That is just not It's not possible. Now, there might be some plays or some tendencies that you haven't seen before, but by and large, it's the same players, the same seemingly bad players executing the same offense because they can't learn a new one adequately and inside of a week. So that's why I talk about eye test. And that's why I think that look is important here. You've got a fan base on the verge of combustion, but you've also got a team that I think needs some confidence. It needs to kind of start believing in themselves again to some degree. They are not making winning plays, and they have been there. The opportunities have been there to do that. And if you're going to get not only like everybody to calm down a little bit, but also to get people to believe that what they've said over the last few weeks is true, that, hey, just one play away, they're really close, blah, 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 blah. Been hurt on the offensive line, making some changes there. If all those things are going to be true, this, even in a win, cannot look like they have over the last three games. They have to be, for example, fourth down. I'll start with the defense, even though they should not get blamed for anything. Third and long and even fourth down defense has got to be better. Things like that. Special teams is cleaner. They protect the football better with both Henry Parrish fumbling in the LSU game and Trey Harris fumbling in the Kentucky game. They protect the football better. They're cleaner on special teams. Things like that have got to be better for Ole Miss. Jackson Dart, instead of forcing the issue vertically when it may not be there into double coverage or whatever, you're hitting your checkdowns. You're throwing the ball underneath. They're getting more creative when it comes to getting the tight end involved, alleviating some of the issues that they have up front on the offensive line. Those kind of things need to look different if you're going to inspire any confidence back into your fan base that you're going to go up to Fayetteville and win, and you're going to have a chance to beat Georgia and end up achieving what is still in front of them, which is a playoff berth. If it's like a, I don't know, 21-17 type win, if it's a game that is identical to that of the Kentucky one, but this time they win, I'm not going to sit here and talk about survive and advance and all that stuff. They've had an off week now. They have had opportunities to self-scout. They have they've had extra opportunity to try to get Jackson Dart to lock back in and be more productive. Offensively, it needs to look more creative and better. They need to be cleaner. They need to be coached better. They need to execute better. And they need to win this game comfortably. If they can't, if they don't, then we don't really need to be talking about running the table after that. So I think they must pass the eye test to get people bought back in if they're going to win games or win the remaining four games after that. So anyway, you guys want to be a part of this? I would love to have you in the comment section. As always, we'll continue with this conversation after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. That's Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. There's 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need is an internet connection. You can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Also, I don't know this. The injury report's going to come out tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to be entirely honest or not, but there's been some talk about the possibility of Trey Harris not playing in this game. And hey, that disagreed with me a little bit on the radio show today, but quite frankly, I think that if you need Trey Harris to beat Oklahoma, then what are we, you know, there's no reason to discuss the possibility of them beating Georgia. It also will give them an opportunity to get other weapons involved if he's not there. But I know Trey Harris is their best player, probably the best player on the team, if not the most impactful player on the team with the way they've conducted offense this year. But it's certainly a loss against a defense like this. But again, if you need Trey Harris to beat Oklahoma, then you've got problems that you're not fixing. But that is something to monitor and to keep an eye on as this week goes on, is what kind of availability he's going to have. Also, I mean, the bye week and how healthy were they able to get? You know, J.J. Pegues has been dealing with a shoulder issue. You had Princely who dressed against LSU but couldn't really go much. You would assume that the extra week has helped him out some. I know Henry Parrish has been a point of contention, but, you know, he's been hobbled, and having him healthy is beneficial to Ole Miss. I don't think his health status should matter when it comes to who should get more carries between he and Bentley. I think Bentley should get more. As you guys know, we talk about it all the time. But him, he's been productive. Like, he's had a good year. He's just been beat the hell up. And quite frankly, him being beaten up and used the way they've used him after it's been clear that he's been hobbled is also just another mark against them when it comes to this entire running back room dynamic to begin with. But they've got to be the healthiest they've been. They've talked about being healthier on the offensive line and making some changes there. Very curious to see what that's going to look like. Is it a personnel move? I don't know. We'll just have to see on Saturday. But the bye week came at a poor time because they had to just sit on that LSU loss for a lot longer than they needed to. But they needed to get healthy, and it sounds like they are working towards that absent Trey Harris. So that's another thing to kind of keep an eye on here. You say you totally agree. They got to pass the eye test. Appreciate you, Lucian. Glad that you are here. Sorry, I butchered your name, and that's a kind of a common name, but appreciate you anyway. I'm kind of an idiot. Just bear with me. Ole Miss really has to win out and beat every team by multiple touchdowns. Defense looking good. Only exception would probably be Georgia. No. I actually disagree with you when it comes to the road games. And still, no, I don't think that they're going to have to sell themselves to the committee at 10 wins too much, because having that win over Georgia will help so much, not erase the Kentucky loss, but it certainly will have a line item on Ole Miss's resume to point to where, you know, they lost in Baton Rouge in overtime. On a walk-off in overtime, and LSU, you hope, runs the table. And they have that win against Georgia to point to. As we talked about on Sunday, I think that it's very clear with how the season has gone so far. I say very clear. It's easy to expect, or easy to think, that they're going to get the necessary help that will allow them just to enter into the postseason at 10-2, like we talked about all offseason. I mean, you've got LSU, Texas A&M, LSU this weekend, so one will get eliminated there. LSU plays Alabama coming up. Missouri's got Alabama this weekend. There are just, if you look down the list, there are going to be so many opportunities for Ole Miss to get the losses in front of them that they need to move themselves up. I think, more importantly for me, the eye test on Saturday is more about the fan base and their buy-in and get, like, starting to believe again and maybe get some of that toxic energy out. I think it's important to look like that to rebuild their confidence. I mean, I think Jackson Dart is really important that he has a really solid day from just, you know, pitch and catch, easy completions, just building some confidence back in this team and getting some of that energy just kind of out of here. I don't think they need to pass the eye test on Saturday for the selection committee, because I think that'll take care of itself. I think they need it more for themselves and for you, to where people can start talking, you know, and Lane Kiffin acknowledged it lightheartedly, but he's kind of noticed, it seems, that the criticism is there. He was even asked in the press conference about the criticism that Charlie Weiss Jr. has received, and it's been pointed out by a few people. I think Neil McCready was the one that really kind of, you know, perked his ears up at, wait, he was asked about the criticism that his play caller has received and talked about it and mentioned his dad and things like that, but didn't defend him. And that's interesting. Go check out that. Go check out the press conference if you haven't, and see if you see or hear the same things. Maybe it was just a miss on his part. I don't know, but there clearly was an opportunity anyway to defend his play caller, and chose not to do that. Interesting stuff there, but and Noah, I don't know. Frankly, I don't know the answer to that. But I'm glad you're here, and appreciate you guys, as always, listening. So I know there's, I guess, what is there that, is that the, is the basketball scrimmage tonight with Illinois? Sorry, typing. That's not great podcast listening. Let's see. Is that tonight? No, it's not. The Illinois thing is October 27th. Is it like open practice student basketball day? I think that's what that is. I think that's what it is. Is a like an open practice or something like that. The NBA season also beginning today, although my Pelicans don't start until tomorrow. But anyway, you know, you're putting the cart before the horse, but Ole Miss wins out with Georgia being in the top two. You win out and you're in. Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I'm not saying that they're going to beat Georgia, because I don't think that they are. I don't. Georgia, when they're locked in, is a wagon. It's a machine, but they're not perfect. They're not perfect. And Kiffin talked about that a little bit. There's a there was a point last season where it felt like there were some teams that were perfect, and Georgia was one of them up until the point where they lost to Alabama. But even them, in their dominance over Texas, there are still things about them that are beatable, and clearly they are, because Alabama was able to do that in Tuscaloosa. So I know Ole Miss has offensive line problems. I know that offensively they've looked discombobulated at best over the last 3 weeks. But they have the talent to do it. They have, you think, the offensive mind to figure it out already. But, I mean, Carson Beck's a turnover machine. They have, at times, been really stagnant offensively and unable to move the football consistently. And you even saw that through their dominance against Texas. And so, again, I'm not saying that Ole Miss is winning that game, because I would certainly not pick that today. But I don't look at Georgia as this team that is up on this pedestal that is so high that they cannot be beat, because we've already seen a mediocre for Alabama team beat them already. We've already seen Carson Beck turn the football over inexplicably. We've seen, you know, a program like Mississippi State hang around with Georgia for a little while. We've seen Kentucky, frankly, who should have beaten Georgia that day. And we've also seen them dominate Texas and dominate Clemson. But they are not perfect. There are flaws, and they are beatable. So if Ole Miss is able to right this ship a little bit and to settle down and to start playing the way they're capable of and get a couple of wins, the hype around that Georgia game will be back. We'll be right back. What am I looking for out of Ole Miss on Saturday? Multiple things. Whatever the changes are on the offensive line, and is it personnel? Are they doing different things schematically? I don't know. But specifically, offensive line, who's lining up where and what that looks like. I'm especially looking for that. I'm looking for them to actually get the tight ends involved and to use especially Juice Wells in the way that South Carolina did. Short stuff, get him the ball in space and let him get yards after the catch. Short, quick passes, easy pitch and catch to let Jackson Dart settle in and build some confidence back up, instead of these long developing, which some of it's his fault because there are open receivers that are not 40 yards downfield, but too often they've just tried to just take the top off of a defense when it just wasn't there. So a more quick hitting offense to alleviate some issues on the offensive line, and then what that looks like getting Priest Korn and Wright involved and Wells involved and Watkins involved in ways that they haven't over the last few weeks. Defensively, getting off the field on third and long when you have Oklahoma in those situations, will you be a lot more aggressive on obvious passing downs this week instead of just bringing, you know, three or four? Are you going to bring an extra blitzer and just kind of force the Arnold or whichever quarterback is going to be playing for Oklahoma after he struggles some and you know, put some pressure on these struggling guys to create havoc as opposed to dropping back into coverage and giving a quarterback time and letting him pick you apart like LSU was able to do a few times last week? But it's sharpness. It's a different look with approach offensively and whatever the heck they're doing on the offensive line paired with getting off the field on third down defensively. You're looking for the O-line to be better. That's the only hope they have against Georgia. And turnovers, too. I mean, Carson Beck can throw Ole Miss into that game. I mean, he's shown it. He has absolutely shown it. What was Trey Harris actually injured at LSU? I believe maybe I'll have to double check again. We'll find out tomorrow. I think it's a groin injury. I think that's what it is. I could be wrong. I think Ole Miss is good enough where it matters to beat Georgia for sure. And I think that front six, we talk about it every week, but the Ole Miss front six is second in the country in tackles for loss. They're second in scoring defense. They are seventh in sacks. And I don't think they did a good enough job of generating pressure last week. Now, their plan was solid, but in hindsight, maybe sending more on the obvious passing downs maybe would have been more disruptive. I don't know. But they are, again, second in TFL, seventh in sacks, second in scoring. Their run defense is outstanding. That front six, which has been really banged up, by the way. Ivy got hurt. Nolan was limping around. Uman Mielen got hurt. Pegues is playing with a bum shoulder. Dottery got hurt. I mean, they've been dealing with injuries, and it's still been exceptional. And when you are as good as they have been up front on defense the way they are, that can keep you in almost any game, regardless of what you're doing offensively. That can keep you in it. That's what kept them in it against LSU. They failed to get or to capitalize on opportunities that they had early in that game. But what kept them in it? It was just defense repeatedly, just getting them stops and getting them stops and getting them stops. That front six travels, and that front six will be disruptive even against Georgia. They've got to get through these two first. Frankly, I think Ole Miss is going to beat Oklahoma soundly. This is a bad Oklahoma team. The helmet's going to fool you, and the volume of Oklahoma fans in town is going to probably surprise you despite how bad they've been. This is a bad football team. And I'm aware that a bad football team came to Oxford and won in Kentucky. I think that this week will go well in that regard, because even Kentucky has, well, let's not get crazy here. But Kentucky does have a pair of wide receivers that are better than what Oklahoma is going to put on the field on Saturday. So Jackson Arnold ruled to start versus Ole Miss, wondering how he will perform with a first-time play caller. Yeah, a first-time play caller taking over against this defensive front is something. Hopefully Caden gets used more. Honestly, you feel more disrespected than him just watching him sit there. Yes, I understand he's a big guy and more of a blocking guy, but that Penn State game showed a lot. And he's been open. So it's not exclusively scheme or play calling or whatever. He has been open, and the quarterback has not distributed the football to him. But yes, he is a weapon. In the middle of the field has not been used well enough. And yes, that Penn State game showed a lot, but all season last season, he showed that he can be a valuable weapon, and they just haven't used him as the valuable weapon that he can be. So it'd be a great opportunity for them to start. Also hope Jackson makes better decisions and stops trying to take the deep shot every single time. And especially the ones that are frustrating are, to me, it's the juice wells into double coverage stuff. I mean, it's just they've done that way, 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 way too much. I say they. Jackson has made that decision too much and hasn't gotten burned on that one very often, but it keep doing that. That's not Juice Wells' game. That's not his strength, and they keep doing that, and it doesn't make sense. And yes, he's got to make better decisions. How happy will Vandy be to write that $250,000 check for storming the field if they knock off Texas? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. I want that to happen so bad. You have no idea how bad I want Vanderbilt to beat this Texas team. I don't think they can. I don't think they will. But I do think that they will play them close and be very well prepared, for sure. This is the best rush defense Ole Miss has had in decades. It is, and like I said before, what's most impressive to me is not just that they're good, it's what they've been able to weather from a personnel health perspective. You hope Ole Miss comes out mad, comes out pissed, you've actually said. They need to. This is a no excuses game. You've had your bye week. You've had your slip ups. Lock in, focus up, play good, sound football. Stop making dumb mistakes that have played yourself out of two games. And show that everything you said this offseason was actually true. Have they allowed any team to rush for over 100 yards this season? So they allowed 100 combined rushing yards in the third quarter of their fourth game. In the third quarter of the fourth game was 100 combined rushing yards. So here, give me a second. I'll tell you what Kentucky, South Carolina, and LSU were able to do. So Kentucky... Sorry, this is taking longer. My computer's being a little bit slow tonight. Kentucky ran for 93 yards on 47 attempts. So that's 2 yards per carry. So that was Kentucky. They lost that game. Can you believe that? 2 yards per carry, 93 rushing yards. They lost the game. It's just unfathomable. Man, this Ole Miss website, The worst design, and not all the schools, but a lot of the schools use the same like base format. It's awful. South Carolina, 151 rushing yards for South Carolina, but that's on 43 attempts. So that's only 3.5 yards per carry. So South Carolina ran for over 100 yards, but that's still a great run stopping day for your defense. And LSU, let's see. LSU ran for 84 on 24 attempts, which is 3.5 per carry. You say, I know I'm a nobody, but if Bentley isn't you Saturday, I might actually lose it. You're not a nobody. Don't say that again. You are not a nobody. You are absolutely somebody. But yeah, I mean, I will too. And we'll do it in the post game, and I'll do it on the radio show. If he does not get the majority of the carries in this game, I mean, it's already been malpractice, but then it's just stupidity beyond comprehension. He's their best back. He's a home run hitter. He's a dynamic playmaker. And yes, I know the offensive line has struggled, and that has led to some issues in the run game, but you saw what he is capable of in Baton Rouge. You saw it. And there's no reason at this point. I mean, Henry Parrish can't do that against the better teams. He's good. He's been good. He's been very useful. He's had a good year. He's a good back. He can't do that. He can't. Not to the volume that Bentley can. Are you the only one that finds yourself rooting for Army and BYU? I don't dislike the BYU story. I am very much rooting for Army and Navy. I want them both to go undefeated. I mean, Navy's got Notre Dame this weekend, guys. They're playing at MetLife there in New York, but I am rooting hard for Navy to win that game. I love the Surface Academies. A high school teammate of mine played wide receiver at Army. and just one, he was a world-class, all-American guy. I mean, just the best. You do not get better than him. But also, just what they go through and on a daily basis, their schedules are insane. They are the best among us. And the fact that they wake up at 5, have military training and classes that are, they don't get help in classes. Extremely, like an outstanding education that they don't get any favors in. And then football. And to not only play football, but be as good as they are is remarkable. I'm kind of, I don't know if nerd's the right word, but patriot. I know that's become like politically divisive. Loving your country is politically divisive now. But I swell up with pride when I watch them succeed in football. I know that's, you know, lame or whatever, but I do. I absolutely do. They're the best that we have to offer. And my former teammate is proof of that. So anyway, thank you guys so much for being here. As always, I appreciate you very, very much. And we will be back on Thursday. We'll do score predictions, keys to the game, hat giveaway, all that good stuff on Thursday. So hopefully we'll see you there. And you guys be good, and I'll talk to you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.